Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is the 26th of April. Wow, these months get going and they just keep moving and moving and moving. That's what makes it so much fun, right? We've got so much to get into today, if I could speak on this Monday. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. The Suns played last night. They have another game tonight. We'll preview that against the Knicks, talk about what happened with the Nets, what went wrong. Had some sounds from Devin Booker. The Mercury have opened up their basketball camp. Got some sound from the GOAT, Diana Taurasi, and head coach Sandy Brondello. We'll get into that as well. So if you schedule a game for seven innings and something magical happens, doesn't that count? Huh. We'll get into that piece as well. Shake up when it comes to ladies college basketball. A former all-star is going to hang on for the rest of the year. And someone this weekend got knocked out along with someone else getting injured by that. Yeah, we'll get into that. Thanks for joining us. Like I said, here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get down there and check them out. Let them know the PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. Now you can become a member. Get your access to the members lounge. It gives you a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. You also have a ton of TVs back there. Incredibly comfortable couches, chairs, recliners, refrigerator, ice maker, everything you could want or need. And also, remember, Maduro's does serve adult beverages in beer and wine. Now, if you don't become a member, you still get great service. Still a great area for you to watch television. Still get beer and wine, all that stuff, if you pay for it. All that good stuff. Now, if you can't make it down to Maduro's, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Same great selection as if you were there. In fact, if you order early enough, your items will be shipped out the exact same day. All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, if you're in the house, though, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off. Like I said, a lot of stuff to get into, a lot of stuff went on this weekend. This was a busy weekend. Usually when there's a lot of NFL chatter, it makes the weekend really busy, and there was a trade we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, time permitting. But I do want to talk about the game last night. The Suns and the Nets. Suns got off to an incredible, incredible start. And then things changed when Kevin Durant came in the game. Now, he snapped 33 points. Kyrie snapped 34 points. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. I don't care who you are in the NBA. If the Nets can get right and you can have KD plus one, like KD going to a party, a KD plus one, KD and Kyrie, KD and James Harden, I don't care who it is, as long as you have a KD plus one, I honestly believe you're going to win. I don't think there's a team out there in the NBA that could match up against this team in a seven-game series. I just don't see it. And we keep hearing about defense, and the nerds want to talk about efficiency and this and that, and no team has ever won with the this and the that, and if guys haven't played together for X amount of time, then they're not going to do this and that. Man, look, this team can play. This team doesn't need to play great defense for 48 minutes. They need to get stops in crunch time. DeAndre Jordan is back in the rotation. He's going to be anchoring the middle. KD is long and has proven he can play defense. I think when you look at this team, when healthy, and you start to try to say, oh, well, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, you have to nitpick. And the best part about social media and radio shows and TV shows and podcasts and everything, the best part about it is we can just keep nitpicking. And we could come up with everything that's wrong. We could come up with, hey, Kyrie once said the earth is flat. That's why they're not going to win. We can keep coming up with this stuff over and over and over. A test shows you all you need to see. This team is really, really, really good. They can score with so much ease. There's nothing that they can't do. There's no one on that team that's limited offensively. And I know I keep going back to that because you can keep saying, well, defense, defense, defense. The NBA, there's no longer just a defensive team. There's no longer a team like the Knicks that are going to be allowed to just grab and hold and mug you for 48 minutes. That just isn't there. Times have changed. The game is more free-flowing. And there's so many people that want to get into the way the game should be played. I don't care the way it should be played. It's the way the game is played. It's free-flowing. You can't slow teams down. You can't slow this team down. And I love it now we're hearing, oh, well, look at KD. He said he wanted to do it a different way. Now here he comes all over again. We're back with a super team. You can miss me with that crap too. There was a time when we didn't think we needed cell phones. We use them. There was a time where we thought airplanes were never going to work. You could sail around the world. There was a time where we used a horse and a buggy to get from one side of the country to the other. Things change. Doesn't mean you necessarily agree with everything, but things change. It's just life. That's just life. But this team is good. But our focus is also on the Suns. The Suns played well, obviously not well enough to win this game, but they played well. A couple of things they got to do. They got to close out quarters better. They got to close out quarters. Devin Booker spoke about this in the post-game Zoom meeting.
Yeah, you know, teams can make you pay for that. closing out quarters is, you know, something that we've been working on, you know, throughout the season. And, you know, we were poor with it today. Going in the half, it would have been a lot better being holding that lead.
And he knows it. He knows it. They know it. Monty spoke about this. And the thing, though, is when you look at this team, when you look at the Suns team, they're 2-2 on this road trip. 2-2. And anybody would have told you going on this trip, playing these games with these back-to-backs, if you go 3-2, that's a successful road trip. It's a very successful road trip. The Suns are still 19-9 away from home, which is still the best road record in the NBA. Still the best. You have a, you played Milwaukee, you played Philadelphia, you played the Sixers, you played the Celtics. This was a hard swing. And I think coming out 3-2 is nothing to hold your head down. Do you realize this is the first time the Suns have lost back-to-back games since January? So the thing is, you got to come out tonight if you're the Suns, and you just got to play hard. You got to close this out. You got to stay locked in mentally.
You just have to be locked in. You have to be ready for the matchup, you know, every night. There's no nights off in this league. We always said, you know, when we win a lot of games, we always say it's hard to come by a win in this league. So, you know, it's not just going to walk up on us and creep up on us. We have to go get it.
And true. And they're not going to have it easy tonight. They're not going to have it easy tonight. The Knicks are good. The Knicks have won about, is it 10 in a row now? The Knicks are a good basketball team. When was the last time you thought you'd say that? The Knicks are a good basketball team. But they are. That's just the truth. That's just a fact. But there's so much this team has to do to stay ready and get ready. They know they still need to improve. They know there's still things they need to do to get ready for the playoffs.
Pretty much everything. I mean, it varies night to night, closing out games, closing out quarters, and just being consistent, you know, on the defense. And I think offensively we'll be in pretty good shape. But if we rely on our defense, that puts us even better shape.
And it's just that simple. And that's what this team is doing. I think Monty said, I'm going to mess this quarter because Monty's got so many of them. It's a where you got to go, not a where you got, but a where you get, or something like that. Basically, you got to keep grinding on what's in front of you. Listen, we're going to step away for a sec. When we come back, the one and only Michelle Gardner, ASU Sun Devils beat writer for AZ Central, Arizona Republic, is scheduled to be on with us. We want to talk about this ASU Sun Devil basketball program and kind of get a feel for what's going on over there, because it seems like people are out, then they're in, then they're out, then they're in. No one knows better than her. So we'll get her on, talk about these ASU Sun Devils. We'll do that in a minute. It's Cave Show with PLR. And it's Monday, the 26th of April.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for joining us today, Monday, here in The Cave Show. A lot of stuff going on, like I said. Hey, but listen, if you ever miss this show, any part of the show, just want to hear it again, we have a replay that airs KSRN 3 o'clock every single day. So definitely check it out. Also, at 1 o'clock, as you know, we are live. All you got to do is go to thesportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Click that listen live button, and boom, there we are, rocking and rolling, ready for you. Now, if you hit that button any other time of the day, it will give you all of our shows. So just click on the one you like, click on the one you want, click on the one maybe you didn't hear, click on one maybe you liked a lot, you want to hear it again. Either way, we'll get you rocking, without a doubt, on the Cave Show with PLR. Now, on our website, there are some interviews and some shows on the left-hand side of the main page, some of our favorites, so definitely click there to check them out. Like I said, I'm not going to overpromise and underdeliver. Listen, I will tell you something that I learned a long time ago. You don't have to know everything. You just got to know who to go to when you need some answers. And I'm looking for answers about the ASU basketball program. So I'm going to go to the person in the know. And that is on with us right now on the Cave Show with PLR, AZ Central, Arizona Republic beat writer for the Sun Devils, Michelle Gardner. Michelle, thanks for joining me today on the Cave Show.
Anytime.
This is when you know that you have pull with big-time people, because even in a relaxed state of mind, they would have texted Michelle late and asked her, and she's like, let's do it. So I am very grateful for that. Thank you so much.
No, I'm glad to be with you.
So let's get right to it. Let's talk about it. I want to know what's happening with the Sun Devils. I know we're texting back and forth a little bit, and I'll start with Marcus Bagley. I know everyone said he's going pro. Michelle, if he's going pro, why is he in a portal to transfer?
You know, that situation is very, very odd, and that move struck me as unusual, too. You know, the dad said, if you read his tweets, that he's just trying to cover all his bases and make sure they have all the options that they need. But that, too, seemed odd to me. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's going to go pro. I think he's going to go in the draft. I know it's a little concerning, but I'm looking at it this way, that he probably wasn't coming back to ASU in the first place.
Okay, I was trying to think of a real long, sophisticated way of asking, but if he doesn't go pro, why not come back? What would prevent him from coming back to ASU?
Well, actually, nothing, really. You could put your name in the transfer portal, but that doesn't mean you're transferring. We've seen players come back to schools. Care Carissa from Arizona put his name in the portal and then came back to Arizona. And a lot of players have done that. So just because he puts his name in the transfer portal doesn't mean that he's done with ASU.
Okay. Okay, I get that. I guess I'm just wondering, like, we've seen so many different things going on. It's like we see Tayshaun Cherry is more than likely out. You see this with Marcus Bagley. Obviously, Bobby's doing a really good job. It just seems like from outside looking in, for those that don't do the Zoomings or cover the games or know Bobby, it just seems like there's a little unease going on. I don't know if that's quite the right word, but it seems like something is a little bit different, like the vibe is off.
Well, you know, not necessarily. If it was an ASU-exclusive problem, then maybe I see where people can worry. But there are 1,400 players in the transfer portal right now, and that number is going up by the week. So if you look at that and break down the numbers, there are 350 or so Division I basketball programs, and there are over 1,400 names in the portal. So that's an average of 4 or 5 players in the portal per school. And ASU has 5 in the portal. So if you kind of look at it that way, it's a little bit of the shifting dynamic in college sports where players can pick and choose where they want to go.
Yeah, very true. On here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for AZ Central Arizona Republic. This team, though, why I said it seems a little different. They have a good class coming in and good transfers coming in. And I wasn't on the last call, but can you describe the way Bobby was, what he was talking about, his upbeatness, and kind of what was going on with him when he was talking ASU basketball?
Bobby was charged up, and I kind of exchanged text messages with some other reporters after that call and said, is it just me or did Bobby seem extra fired up and motivated? And they all, to a person, said, yeah, he was. He said he doesn't want to let last season repeat itself. He doesn't want to ever have another season like that again. And, you know, obviously the COVID stoppages was one thing, and, you know, you had injuries. That was another whole scenario. But he knows how badly that team underperformed given the expectations. And sometimes it's easier to be the hunter than the hunted, too. So you look at next year, and they're probably going to be picked in the middle of the pack somewhere, and maybe they can do some damage from there. But Bobby definitely seemed motivated, hungry, charged up. I don't know what the right word is, but he definitely seemed like he was on a mission, and I like that. And if you look at what the players that he's bringing in, and if you want to look at the transfer portal one way or another, I think this is a good way to look at it. Are the players that you are bringing in – better than the players that left?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now go and let's go down the list of players that left. Tayshaun Cherry, people could argue he's underachieved for his 3 years that he's been here. Jalen House, great defensive player, seemed to be coming into his own, wasn't a starter. Chris Austin, steady off the bench, but was he a great contributor? Not necessarily. Holland Woods, fairly steady player, wasn't a starter until he had to be. Now you look at the players they're bringing in, and the four players that they're bringing in that are Division I players, three of them were leading scorers at the respective schools, and one was a conference player of the year. So I would argue that definitely if you look at what they're bringing in, they've got more talent than what has departed. Would you agree?
I would. And I think it's going to be a lot different next year because hopefully you won't have COVID overhead and you'll get some practice time. My question about that, though, is when you have a guy like a Holland Woods, what I guess I'm asking you to do the impossible, and that is get inside a college kid's head. Why would he transfer portal out, though, when it seems like it would be set up for him to have a great year?
Possibly, but if you look at what they brought in, would he have gotten more playing time than he did this year? Probably not, because they brought in guards. They brought in Marion Jackson from Toledo, who was the conference player of the year in that conference, and you got DJ Horn coming in and from Illinois State, and then you get Jay Heath, who was at Boston College, leading scorer for Boston College. He's played in the ACC, so you know that he's played against some quality competition. And then you look at another guy that ASU's got coming in, and is Holland Woods going to get more playing time than he did this year? Probably not. And then another player that's kind of lost in the conversation a little bit is Luther Muhammad, who transferred to ASU from Ohio State a year ago, and he redshirted.
Right.
He had shoulder surgery. He redshirted. And my understanding is that he's a tenacious, hard-nosed defender, and he might take that Jalen House role and step right into that where he can be the stopper of the other team's leading scorer. So now you throw those four guards into the mix, and would Holland Woods get more playing time next year than he did this year? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. On with us today, Kind of Cave Show with PLR, the one and only Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer, AZ Central, Arizona Republic. When I'm looking at the people that are departing, though, you get those in the portal, obviously Remy. I mean, obviously all the graduating seniors, let's just say that. This is going to be a complete overhaul of a team, it seems like. What are your thoughts on that, where it seems like, I mean, literally, everybody's new?
Well, almost. So you've got the 10 newcomers, and I guess Luther Muhammad, you could count him as a newcomer, or you could count him as a returner, depending how you look at it. But basically, you've got three players coming back. You've got Jalen Graham. We saw how much he improved when he came back late in the season. Caleb Christopher, probably not a big deal there because he didn't play much to begin with. And then the third player you're forgetting is Kamani Lawrence. And I think Kamani Lawrence's decision to return is huge. Because, again, he gives them that four front court guy. We saw how much he improved over the last course of the course of the season, and some would say he was ASU's best player the last 2-3 weeks of the season. So, and he also, what he gives is a veteran presence. He gives ASU a guy that's been in Bobby Hurley's system now, will be a fifth year, a veteran guy. I think you can't underestimate that presence of Kamani Lawrence. This can be his team next year, kind of like it was supposed to be Remy Martin's team last year. So I think Kamani's decision to come back is huge.
Is it just me, or does it feel like Kamani Lawrence has been here like 9 years already? And I say
it
jokingly, not
facetiously. It does. It definitely does. But I think that was a good sign right there. And I like what Bobby did in addressing the weaknesses of this team. And obviously we've talked about rebounding, front court presence. And when you look at what they've got, I think he's done a really good job of answering that criticism and responding to that. Cause we saw what happened when they got out rebounded, and they were like 340th or out of 350 teams in rebounding last year. And when you can't shoot and you're not shooting for high percentage, you better be able to get rebounds, and they didn't do either. So I like what he did with his roster. I think the key is going to be how they use those non-conference games. When you've got that many newcomers, it's going to take a while to find your mix, find your starting five, find some cohesion. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this team develops over the first 5 to 12 games of the season next year.
So just your opinion on something. When I'm looking at, and I do this every year because, you know, the NBA draft always intrigues me, always. And I'm going to show my age on this. I remember when drafting a young player was taboo. You wanted to get a guy that's played 3 years, 4 years, because you wanted maturity. You wanted someone ready to come in, ready to go. Obvious now, everything has changed. Everything is based on what you're projected to be and who can land that projection. And even though, you know, you want someone that can play right away, it's okay if they're not a superstar right off the bat. But in saying that, I also know that you have guaranteed money in the first round. You don't have guaranteed money in the second round. We also see that there are some players, when they get far enough in the second round, possibly, they may not even want to be drafted. So they can work out their own deal to be a two-way player, from the G League up to the NBA. When I look at a Marcus Bagley, when the season first started, he was projected in several scouting organizations to be a first-round pick. He's now down in the middle of the second round. We know last year was a lot. And we know Josh Christopher is still slated to go in the first round, even with the tough year that he had. But why would you, if you are a young guy, and I'll take Mr. Bagley's name out. If you see that you're dropping, can you gain more, your opinion only, by coming back as opposed to getting out? If you, unless you obviously just need the money, where do you think you could gain more from?
I would like to say coming back, but do you remember 2 years ago when we were having the Lou Dort conversation? And I'm going to use that as a great example. I mean, we all thought he was crazy. You know, he's coming out of ASU after his first year. Some say he might get drafted, and then he didn't. And we all thought he was crazy, and he can come back, and he can work on his ball handling, and he can work on his shooting. And now the kid's a stud, okay? So I think it just depends on the player and what team takes him and how he might fit in. And I think with Marcus, it's kind of hard to know because he missed more games than he played. So
right.
He doesn't have a big body of work, and that's a little bit different than the Lou Dort situation, in that Lou Dort played every game and you kind of knew what you had, and you know, you knew where his flaws were, you knew what his strengths were, and you could go with that. But with Marcus Bagley, it's a little bit of more of a question mark because he didn't play a whole lot of games. So I would like to say, yeah, come back and you've got things you can work on and improve your stock. But again, this is where you've got to know what's in the kid's mind. Is he really hell-bent on going to the NBA, or does he recognize the chance to come back and work on his weaknesses? Or I hate to say weaknesses because I think he's got a pretty good all-around game, but work on fine-tuning your skills. And another thing I can say is, you know, the one thing that I think we all missed this year was contact with our team. And with COVID right. protocols and whatnot, we go to games. We're limited to sitting in our seats, and we can't get up and move around. We're not mingling with the players in the hall after the game. We're not talking to coaches on the side after the press conferences. So it's a little bit hard, and I say this when it comes to kind of team chemistry, and people say, well, the team didn't have good chemistry last year. A lot of those things are easier to judge when you are there day to day and you have that day to day contact with your players and your coaches, and you can feel kind of the atmosphere. But when you're kept at arm's length over Zoom, it's kind of hard to see where that dynamic is, if you know what I mean.
I do. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think ASU, and I was told I was a homer for saying this, but I think ASU, it was tough for them to ever get going once the injury started, because unlike a team like Gonzaga, that had upperclassmen and added a freshman stud, or a team like Baylor that had guys that had played together, I think ASU, Duke, all those teams, that had high five-star players, I think it's hard just to throw them in together. Kentucky is another one, and expect them to bond when on the court when they didn't even have an opportunity to bond off the court. So I just think they fell victim of that. I honestly think if this team was a team a year before, when they had, you know, a junior at that time and Remy and all those guys that were there, adding a Lou Dort would have been a lot different than coming in with possibly two of your best players never playing college basketball. So I'm giving ASU a pass, because once you had COVID, you didn't have cohesion. Then you had injuries. Then, unfortunately, you had a player with the death in the family. So everyone had a reason to step away from basketball, and you can't build cohesion when that happens.
No, I agree. And, you know, I think that this is going to be the most important offseason of Bobby Hurley's career, because I think there are cynics out there right now that are kind of nipping at his heels, and everybody's kind of going at him a little bit. So the cynics are already out in full force. The ones that aren't cynics maybe are a little bit on the fence and maybe giving them a pass because of everything that happened. But if they have another bad year next year, you know, it's really going to be, you know, an interesting time in Tempe if there's another season like last year. So I think that's why Bobby is so determined too, because he senses that. And, you know, we're also talking an overhaul of the coaching staff as well. So I think that this is going to be fascinating theater moving forward with ASU basketball.
I just find it funny that here's a coach that got a team in the tournament 3 years in a row, COVID and everything else that can go wrong goes wrong, and people are wondering, what did he do wrong? I'm not gonna throw, you know, sand on another coach's grave, but did they forget where the program was versus where it's at? But that's a whole
yes
you know.
Okay, it's what have you done for me lately, right? I mean, people don't want to think about that. They're only thinking about this year. It's what have you done for me lately. I agree with you, but that being said, you know everybody wanted to anoint this team the best thing team that ASU's ever had this year, and like you said, everything fell apart. So I think people want results. Fans don't. They have very short memories. So I agree with you. When somebody's done something that hadn't been done in 30 years or whatever it is, it's hard to throw dirt on the guy's grave. But people need to just chill out and let's see what happens next year. So, but I think with all these newcomers, and I think Bobby did recruit a little bit differently this year, and I think he addressed the weaknesses. So I like what he did. But like I said, I think this team is going to be very, very interesting to watch the next, you know, 12 months.
Michelle, one quick football question before we get out of here. What do you think of the spring game, the spring practice, and what's your overall feel for what Herm is doing over on that gridiron in this upcoming season?
Well, I think this is going to be their year. If they're ever going to have a year, it's going to be this year. When you've got 20 returning starters out of 22, that's pretty insane. You've got a lot of players that are going to be in their third year starting, and you look at guys like a Jack Jones and a Chase Lucas. You're talking just Evan Fields, guys that have played a lot of football. So they're going to have that experience factor. Jaden is a year older. The running backs were a huge question mark last year, and that's why maybe people didn't think as much of ASU because they didn't know what to think of the running backs. Well, now we saw that question was answered. I don't know that this team actually has a weakness. So I liked what I saw. I liked some of the newcomers, Elijah Badger in particular. He was very, very good. Eric Gentry, 6'6", linebacker, D-end. He was phenomenal on defense. So I think they've got great experience. They've got good skill position players. They've got young guys with a lot of potential that are going to be pushing for playing time, and that kind of ups the ante when you've got young, hungry guys pushing the veterans. So I like what they've done, and I'm just hoping we can have some sense of normalcy come the fall.
Chase Lucas, another guy I feel like he's been here forever. He's another nine-year veteran. I got to give him a hard time when I talk to him. Michelle, I appreciate it. I really appreciate you coming on, and as we get closer to everything, as usual, I will be bugging the hell out of you for your expertise.
Anytime.
Thank you, Michelle. Be safe and enjoy, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye. The one and only Michelle Gardner, she knows her ASU. When you want to know something that's happening, you go to the person that knows it. I noticed I had some phone lines open up. Bear with me. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll have about a good 5 minutes to open up the lines and take calls. So if you're on hold, I'll take you in order when we come back from this break. Thanks for hanging with us today. This is The Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
Hey, this is Mikel Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show on PLR. This is PLR. Thanks for joining us today. It is Monday, the 26th of April. Always good to catch up with Michelle Gardner. Knows everything about ASU sports that you need to know. Make sure you follow us on social media at The Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. We're on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram. SportsCave.com is the website again. Cave is with the K. You can catch me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Got some other stuff to get into. Definitely want to get into some baseball with the Diamondback. Definitely want to get into a little bit of the Mercury. If time does not permit, we will talk Mercury tomorrow, because before this show today, I had an opportunity to catch up with Coach Sandy Bardello again, as well as catching up with Skylar Diggins, so who always is just a walking encyclopedia of what's happening with this team with basketball and what's happening on the court. So if we don't get to the Merc today, we definitely will tomorrow. But I am definitely going to get to the sound with the Diamondbacks, because I'm going to tell you something. If they schedule at 7 and you play 7, whatever happens in 7 should be happening in 7. Anyway, I'll get into that in a second. I do want to get to the calls because a few people are holding for a while and are starting to get impatient. Got a couple drop-offs, so let's do this. Thanks for calling. You're on the line with PLR, Cave Show, PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, my man Lou, what's happening, buddy?
All right, didn't get a chance to hear the whole thing, but from what I heard, it was a great interview, first of all.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. You think your Suns are in trouble, though?
No. They still have the best road record in the NBA. They still have the second-best record in the NBA. And listen, I don't care who you are. I know you missed the first part probably.
Right.
But when you have KD plus one, I don't care if it's KD plus Kyrie, KD plus Harden. When you have KD plus one, that is the best team in the NBA. Now, I know the Lakers are the champs, so I'm not disrespecting the Lakers. But I'm talking this season, that team offensively is the best offensive team in basketball. And everyone talks about defense. Look, I get it. But they don't have to stop you for 48 minutes. They got to stop you for the last three because you're not going to outscore them. So that team is really good. The Suns are good. They're not next good right now. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way.
Right. Right.
But when you have a team that has three bona fide Hall of Famers that are going to retire and walk in the Hall of Fame, and they're still in their prime, that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. Especially now since we're getting, you know, like crunch time.
Yeah, and they play defense. I mean, you put DeAndre Jordan back in the rotation. You got KD. So basically, you got 2 7-footers. You got Kyrie handling the ball. You got Joe Harris shooting. You got tough defenders. You got Shamet who can shoot the ball. And in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're going to be back with James Harden. So
yes.
The only thing that can derail this team is another injury. And people talk about chemistry. See, I look at this differently. The Clippers had chemistry problem because you rested guys unnecessarily.
That happens every time.
That made guys have resentment against PG and especially against Kawhi. And I'm talking Montrezl Harrell. There was resentment there. This year, the Clippers don't have that type of resentment. These guys are playing more, and there's not that resentment because now they've played together for a year. In Brooklyn, these guys aren't playing because of rest. They're playing because they were hurt. There's no resentment for them not playing. The whole mindset is different. So Brooklyn's going to be tough. And I love when people yell, Philly, Philly, Philly. Philly barely beat them. Was it last week? And they didn't play anybody. So this is just a really good team. It's really good team.
I'll give you that. Now, I know you don't cover a lot of UFC, but I was hearing something on Matt Saturday that was, I think, one of the most bizarre moments the sports ever faced. As one of the fighters, you know, had some broken bones in his leg from a gruesome move from his opponent. Oof.
Well, okay, so here's what's crazy. You're talking about Weidman breaking his leg, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Did you see the video?
No, but I'm reading the article right now. Ugh.
Okay. Weidman broke his leg by kicking his opponent.
Yeah.
Okay, so as gruesome as it was, and I saw it, if you really want to, you go on Twitter and take a look. Just know that it's one of those, even though you know it's coming, you gotta turn your head. Yeah, you got to turn your head.
Graphic material,
but,
right?
Yeah, it's tough. But I'm going to say this. Muscular, do you have to be to have someone break their leg by kicking
you?
You've
got to have all muscle.
That was insane.
I know.
That was just insane. It was just gruesome. It really was. It was, I mean, I'm really hoping that, and I said Scott, I'm sorry, Chris Weidman comes back from the, I don't know why I said
he's Scott. In training. He's talking about training.
Yeah. Wow. That was just insane. Insane. He literally went for a kick. And he got hurt.
Yeah,
it was gruesome. It was
yeah, it was
absolutely insane. But
I mean, yeah. When I first heard about my, because I was on another show on Saturday, the time was done, and you know he was watching it on his stuff through the show, and like, oh my, and he was telling me like, oh my God, this is awful.
Yeah, it was. He literally went to kick Uriah Hall, and just, and yeah. Then what made it even worse was, I'm sure he knew it was broke when he did it, and he went to step on it to get his balance, and I'm gonna say this. And those of you that know geometry know that your foot should not be perpendicular to your leg when it's going sideways. No. That's all bad. All bad. But, and then in the other fight, look, let's just be honest. I mean, let's just call it for what it was. Oh, good Lord. Someone just got knocked out.
Yeah.
You know, Ori Mezidov just got knocked out. It was quick. You know what? I will tell you something. If I was in the UFC, I would rather lose like that than to stand there and constantly get hit or armbarred or knee to the face. Just knock me the hell out. Let me go on about my business.
Right.
But yeah, that was a crazy knockout. Actually, I have a video of that up on our Sports Cave Instagram. But yeah, that was a that was a good night.
I'll put it this way: with hell.
Oh, that was a hey, nice to meet you. Boom.
Yeah.
So
I get on my way.
Yep. But, hey, listen, before I let you go, I got to ask you a question because I'm going to get into this in the last segment before I go. Madison Bumgarner, threw a no-no yesterday for the Diamondbacks.
Sort of.
It was a scheduled seven-inning game because it was a doubleheader. Mind you, Diamondbacks gave up one hit in that doubleheader, but that's beside the point.
Right.
If it's a scheduled seven-inning game, notice I'm putting emphasis on the word scheduled. How is it not a no-hitter?
But whoever came up with this rule in 1991 saying, oh, it's not complete, it's not nine innings or more. Look, six innings is an official game, okay? So I think that it should count as a no-hitter. Okay, it's not a conventional no-hitter, but it's a no-hitter, okay? I mean, really, whoever made this rule back in the 90s is stupid. Give him the credit for the no-hitter.
Well, here's my thing. It was a scheduled seven-inning game. It's not like he would have had a – you know how we do the – he had a no-hitter through seven, pitch count was high, they came and got it. It wasn't that. It was – was he supposed to say, hey, I know we were scheduled for seven, but can we pitch two more innings, please? It's like, no, it was a scheduled seven-inning game.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what would you want him to do? But
well,
anyway,
suppose you did put it there chewing and lost it though.
Right, but my point though is that's not his fault that it's scheduled.
No, of course
it's scheduled. It's scheduled. So, oh, and by the way, thank you. Before I let you go, I really appreciate you very much.
Thanks.
I know you're wondering. I know you're thinking, why am I thanking you? Right?
Yeah.
Because you're Yankee. Because your Yankees played the Indians.
Yeah.
And the Yankees beat the hell out of the Indians. And while they were beating the hell out of the Indians, my White Sox were winning. And my White Sox are now playing a lot better baseball, best plus minus in the majors. And they are approaching taking over that division lead. Thanks a lot to you guys smacking the crap out of the Tribe. So I appreciate you, Yankees. Thanks, Lou.
Thanks. Yeah, but just remember, it's only late April. We still got 4.5 months to go.
Can't win the pennant in April, but sure can lose it.
No, not necessarily. I mean, I'll just make this short. Take like Oakland from the beginning. You know, they lost their first six games, and then they went into 13 in a row. So I don't necessarily think you can lose in April. June, maybe, but April, no. You got time to recover from that.
I grew up in Chicago. That team I don't like on the north side, they lost a whole bunch of seasons in April with a smile on my face. All right, buddy. Hopefully I catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, Paul.
All right, Lou.
Okay.
Have a good one. Always good to catch up with Lou. Listen, we're going to skip the break. We're going to get right to this. We're going to run out of time. Tori, your team gave up one hit and a doubleheader. 2 7-inning scheduled games, gave up one hit. Talk about, Tori. Tell me the pulse of your team.
What an unbelievable day. First of all, Zach goes out there and executes and throws a one hitter, and then bump follows up with basically a perfect game outside of a defensive miscue. It was an unbelievable effort by him, and facing the minimum amount of hitters. Wow, what else can you say? It was a special day for him. All the hard work, all the effort that he's been putting into this day over the past several weeks, maybe longer, makes this day even more special because we all know what he's been walking through for the first couple starts of this year. But it just goes to show you that on any given day, when it's feeling good, especially a guy like Madison can go out there and execute a game plan and have something like this happen. It's fun and special for every single one of us that are watching in the dugout and watching at home on our television. So I couldn't be more pleased for him. I'm so proud of him for everything that he's been grinding through. And that's two consecutive starts where he's been throwing the baseball really well. And we need to continue building upon that. We wound up a road trip 7-3, a road trip that, when I looked at it at the beginning of the year, I thought it would be a little bit rugged. We're still chasing our identity at that point in time in the season. I think we're defining who we are. We're a smart, tough baseball team that has a bend, don't break mentality that goes out there and fights and executes and claws for every inch they possibly can. This was a good road trip for this ball club as we are finding out exactly who we are.
It was a great road trip for the Diamondbacks. They found their winning ways. They got great pitching. They had a no-no. Listen, I know I've been saying it, repeating myself, broken record, whatever. If you schedule it for 7, what more can you do? Let me ask this question. If someone hit 4 home runs in that game, would they count towards the record? Someone hit 5 home runs. Someone hit 6 home runs, would they count? If someone had 13 RBI, would it count? If they set a record for, if they had 14 double plays in that game, would it count? So the no-hitter was a no-hitter. It's just that simple. It's really just that simple. Anyway, let's listen. Matt Baum real short with his answers. And it's crazy because Zach Gallen pitched incredible. If any other time, we'd have sound from him too. And I have sound. We just don't have time for the sound. Because there was a no-hitter pitch. A no-hitter pitch. Let me say it again. A no-hitter was pitched. Master, do you ever think you could pitch a no-hitter?
No, I mean, I never really thought about it. I threw, other than in the moment, I think we had – I'm pretty sure there was 4 one-hitters in San Francisco. And, obviously during the game, you're thinking about it. But, I mean, so many things have to go your way. So, it's not like I was waiting on it to happen or anything like that. But
he's right. You always need a big catch. Always need that big defensive stop. You always need that one ball that strike that just might be a strike, might not be a strike. You always need one of those. You always need someone to swing at a pitch they wouldn't swing at. You need all that. But still a no-hitter. And Madison Bumgarner has a right to be
proud. Yeah, I think it's got to be up there for sure. I'm pretty proud of it, for sure.
And everyone's talking about that, oh, it's not a no-hitter. Blah, 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 blah. There's always haters. Hate, hate, hate. It's a no-hitter. It was just funny. I had Derek Mantilla on last week, and we were talking about Madison Bumgarner and what they were going to do with him and his effectiveness. And this guy's like here at the show and told us, shut the hell up. I love being wrong when it's something like this. He basically told us, shut the hell up. Came out and pitched great. Then came back out and pitched a no-hitter. I'm going to keep calling it. I think it's a no-hitter. Those with common sense think it's a no-hitter. Jordan Lavelle thinks it's a no-hitter. Team thinks it's a no-hitter. Madison Bumgarner. Is it a no-hitter?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't give up any hits today, so I'm not in control of how many innings we're playing. I like the seven-inning doubleheader thing. I mean, I don't know, you know.
I know. It's a no-hitter. I definitely know. Diamondbacks are back to playing really good baseball. Now let's see if they can keep it up. Now they're home. Let's see if they keep it up. Let's see if they keep this train rolling. It all starts with pitching. In baseball, it all starts with pitching. Pitching, defense, and offense. I believe it's just in that order. Because if you're pitching well, and you play and get defense, inevitably you're going to break through. And that's what they just need to keep doing. Pitching, defense, and then hitting. News and notes before we jump out of here today. Kim Mulkey, 20 years at Baylor, is leaving to go to LSU. I know a lot of you remember what she said a couple weeks ago during March Madness when she thought COVID testing should just stop, and we all know that was just the wisest things she said. But she's won a gold. She's won a championship as a player. She won championships as a coach. And now she's off to LSU. The whole landscape of college basketball, ladies college basketball, going to change big time with her making that jump from Baylor to the SEC and the LSU Tigers. Clippers signed DeMarcus Cousins for the rest of the season. That's going to be big for them, give them size, give them some scoring that they need when the playoffs start. We need that big bucket. And all you got to do is put that hand up, throw it down low, let him go to work. I think that's going to be big for the Clippers in the playoffs. Playoffs will offset a little bit the Lakers getting Andre Drummond if it comes to that. And then lastly, Orlando Brown was traded from the Ravens to the Chiefs. Offensive lineman. Listen, I will still say this again. An offensive line is the only reason why Mahomes didn't go back-to-back. Orlando Brown can play. And that blind side of Patrick Mahomes is now protected. He doesn't have to drop back worrying he's going to get hit like he did the entire Super Bowl. Let's wrap this up. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you to the caller. Thanks, Michelle Gardner, for calling in. ASU beat writer, KZ Central, Arizona Republic. It is always good to catch up with her. I really appreciate her joining us today. You can also follow her. She's a great follow on Twitter at M Gardner Sports. So definitely check her out. The Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sports Cave, Caves with a K, sportscave.com, Caves with a K. Get me a PLR on sports on the Twitter. Thanks for joining us. We'll have more tomorrow, more great guests, more great calls. We'll do that all right here on The Cave Show with PLR. Thanks for joining us today. Be safe. Stay away from that devil known as COVID. Like we like to say at this time, as usual, tips. Bring us home.